The Eagle's Wife. Zeus meant well. Those three words so often presaged disaster for some poor demigod, nymph, or mortal. The king of the gods did love Semele, and he really meant to do his best by her. In the fervour of his new infatuation, he managed conveniently to forget the torments Io had endured, maddened by the gadfly sent by his vengeful wife. Alas, Hera may no longer have had Argus of the Hundred Eyes to gather intelligence for her, but she had thousands of eyes in other places. Whether it was one of the jealous sisters, Agave, Autonoe, or Ino, who spied on Semele and whispered to Hera the story of the lovemaking in the river, or whether it was one of the Queen of Heaven's own priestesses, is not known, but find out Hera did. So it was that one afternoon Semele, returning with romantic sentiment to the place of her regular amorous encounters with Zeus, encountered a stooping old woman leaning on a stick.
"My, what a pretty girl!" croaked the old woman, slightly overdoing the cracked and cackling voice of a miserable crone.
"Why, thank you," said the unsuspicious Semele with a friendly smile.
"Walk with me," said the hag, pulling Semele towards her with her cane. "Let me lean upon you."
Semele was polite and considerate by nature, in a culture where the elderly were in any case accorded the greatest attention and respect. So she accompanied the old woman and endured her roughness with no complaint.
"My name is Beroe," said the old woman,
"and I am Semele."
"What a pretty name! And here is Asopus."
Beroe indicated the clear waters of the river.
"Yes," assented Semele. "That is the river's name." "I heard tell."
Here the old woman's voice lowered into a harsh whisper.
"That a priestess of Zeus was seduced here, right here, in the reeds."
Semele went silent, but the flush that spread instantly up her neck to her cheeks betrayed her as completely as any spoken words.
"Oh, my dear!" screeched the crone. "It was you! And now that I look, I can see your belly. You are with child."
"I am," said Semele with a becoming mixture of diffidence and pride. "But if you can keep a secret—"
"Oh, these old lips never tell tales. You may tell me anything you wish, my dear."
"Well, the fact is that the father of this child is none other than Zeus himself."
"No," said Beroe, "you don't say so. Really?"
Semele gave a very affirmative nod of the head. She did not like the old woman's sceptical tone.
"Truly, the king of the gods himself. Zeus! The great god Zeus! Well, well, I wonder—" "No, I mustn't say."
"Say what, lady?"
"You seem such a sweet innocent, so trusting. But, my dear, how can you know that it was Zeus? Isn't that exactly what some wicked seducer might say just to win you?"
"Oh, no, it was Zeus. I know it was Zeus.
Bear with an old woman and describe him to me, my child."
"Well, he was tall, he had a beard, strong, kindly."
"Oh, no, I'm sorry to say so, but that is hardly the description of a god."
"But it was Zeus, it was. He turned himself into an eagle. I saw it with my very own eyes."
"That's a trick that can be taught. Fauns and demigods can do it, even some mortal men."
"It was Zeus. I felt it."
Beroe sounded doubtful. "I have lived amongst the gods. My mother is Tethys and my father Oceanus. I raised and nursed the young gods after they were reborn from Kronos's stomach. It's true, I know their ways and their natures, and I tell you this, my daughter. When a god manifests himself or herself, as they truly are, it is like a great explosion, a wondrous thing of force and fire, unforgettable, unmistakable. And that's just what I felt. What you felt was no more than the ecstasy of mortal lovemaking, depend upon it. Tell me now, will this lover of yours come to you again?
Oh, yes, indeed. He visits me faithfully every change of the moon.
If I were you, said the old woman, I would make him promise to reveal himself to you as he really is. If he is Zeus, you will know it. Otherwise, I fear you have been made a fool of, and you are far too lovely and trusting and sweet-natured for that to be allowed. Now, leave me to contemplate the view. Shush, shush, go away. And so Semele left the crone, growing more and more hotly indignant all the while. She could not help it, but this warty and wrinkled old creature had got under her skin. So typical of old age to try to take away any pleasure that youth might feel. Her own sisters, Autonoe, Ino, and Agave, had disbelieved her when she told them proudly of how she loved Zeus and Zeus loved her. They had shrieked with incredulous mocking laughter and called her a gullible fool, and now this Beroe doubted her story too. Yet maybe, just maybe, there was something in what her sisters and the old witch said. Gods surely had more to them than warm flesh and solid muscle, appealing as those were. Well, Semele said to herself, two more nights, and there would be a new moon in the sky, and she could prove the nasty, interfering old hag wrong. Had Semele chanced to turn and look back towards the river, she might have witnessed the extraordinary sight of that nasty, interfering old hag, now youthful, beautiful, magisterial, and imperious, rising up to the clouds in a purple and gold chariot drawn by a dozen peacocks. And had she the gift of second sight, Semele might have been granted a vision of the actual Beroe, innocent old nurse of the gods, living out her life miles away in respectable retirement on the coast of Phoenicia. The real Beroe, an Oceanid who had indeed nursed the young gods, gave her name to the city of Beirut.